Who am I about to fucking kill?
Oh, sorry, that was me.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I am Vince Stone. That is Jordan Swang. That is Pedro Matias. Also, for the awesome. And Pedro is just Pedro.
Yes.
Pedro. We have like bonus name tags now. Because our Jitsi server, did a thing that broke our perfectly working Jitsi server, and in the process of trying to fix it, we broke it more.
Oh, hey!
That's the LGC way. I look forward to tangoing with that. Yeah, we're going to be getting right into it in just a minute, because we got a guest on the line. We've called him up. Somebody who's opened Unity for more than 30 minutes, which kind of runs circles around the three of us. It's done more than installed it. But before we get started, anybody been up to anything interesting?
I guess I started collecting diecast Mazda 2s.
Diecast Mazda. Yes, you've been posting little picture cars.
Yes.
Making Steve very upset. Yeah. I got a massage.
I had the
today.
One Tamika one.
You got a massage.
Yeah, that was nice. My wife got a 2-for-1 massage certificate, so we went and got a massage today.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, it was, and The masseuse kind of freaked out when he saw how jacked up my back was.
He's like, nope, next, you're out.
To the point where I can hear his arms popping and cracking, attempting to get rid of my shit. It was good stuff.
Oh, man. Yeah, I haven't been doing anything outside of like the Jitsi thing. I discovered that Wednesday after doing an update on Tuesday, and we're very much in the finally at the part of the negotiations where they're like, oh, well, maybe it is a problem. You know, after you go through the, here, why don't you try to change these random things and see if that magically fixes it before I actually look at it and try to debug it. And you don't want to be like, can we just skip this step?
You always want to skip that step, but it's like the most necessary step. That's where all the information is.
Yeah, I understand. And like we've gone through that. So, is as it is. So, what game engine does the horse run on?
Unfortunately, the horse runs on a custom engine written purely in Brainfuck. But that's not relevant to now. We got to talk about the Unity stuff.
Oh, well, we got to do the Steam update of the week.
I guess it's
continuity. Goddammit!
It's the Steam update. Well, Unity did a boo-boo. It's not explicitly Steam-related, but it affects a lot of games on Steam, and maybe even Steam itself.
And we have another person to talk about it with us, and yes. He's new.
Oh, hi, Scott.
I'm here.
It's Michael Cera.
Hi.
Not quite.
Oh, okay, so we already had Seth Rogen. Now we have Michael Cera. Okay.
or Michael Ian Black from Stella. That was the other option.
Okay, so check this out. Scott, a little bit of background. What do you do? What have you been around? Like, you know about game engines.
Yeah, a decent amount. So I've done... So in terms of game dev, I've worked with a VR studio in Toronto. Has done stuff in Unreal and Unity. I've worked with Last Epoch, myself, the Yandere dev, Yandere developer guy, and similar. Developer a little bit. I also did my own stuff a little bit as well. And then for the last year and a half, I was working with Light Twist, still working in contract, but not full time anymore. And they were started off Unreal, went to Unity because they were doing macOS apps, and macOS support on Unreal was not the best, especially after the lawsuit. Although it's been apparently getting better. After that, they went back to Unreal. And by the way, if you are saying something, I lost all audio after that. I'm not sure if I'm intentionally muted or not. And now I hear something.
Yeah, we were letting you talk.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Cool. Yeah, no,
that was
laughing.
Not stepping
sure.
on your toes.
I wasn't sure yes. if it was
you are the guest here. We're here yeah. to defer to you.
We're not accustomed to being polite, Scott. This is, we got to maintain focus, and we find it hilarious.
We call this the Canadian standoff up north here. So after you, no, after you, no, after the you, no, after you.
No, no, no. Yeah. We're not going to be having a polite off. All right. Drawing the line there.
But like, so we're talking about Unity because, you know, if unless you've been living under a rock, they have announced that there's a new pricing plan and packaging update that includes some provisions that are at face value not too bad, but it's sort of the broader scope of the change that that has people up in a twist. So Scott, what is it?
So for the longest time, Unity was branding themselves as the royalty-free engine. And now, just now, they decided that I believe if you're in the free category, you're immune to this as long as you stay under 200,000 in revenue. Although, based on unless something changed recently, when we asked them last about a year ago, when they count revenue, they count total revenue of your company. So example they gave is like if we were working for $1 billion in a company doing training software, our revenue would be $1 billion, even if we are just, you know, some small little segment of it doing a training.
So if you get like a bitching hot dog stand side business, they're going to count that?
Apparently even count merch and stuff like that too, yeah.
Especially if it's the same company.
So if you're making hot dog simulator, don't also run a hot dog restaurant.
Or something like that. Again, I'm not sure on that one. If they may have changed that recently, but that's what I heard as of like a year ago. I was looking for something else, but regardless, so that's the revenue. But if you're like purely free and you're just doing it on the side, just, you know, whatever, I don't think this accounts for you. But if you go over the free threshold and the install up thresholds, both of them, from what I understand, then they'll start charging you per seat of the end user, not developer, like the end user per install. And one thing they said originally was that was per, like if you reinstall, that it would count, like if someone installs in the same computer like 12 times because they reinstall, you know, they do reinstall for their OS or whatever. They clarified that and said that doesn't count. Instead, it's different devices. So if you have three computers and a Steam Deck, that's four installs. No matter how many times you install them on each, it's still four installs. However, that's four installs the developer is getting charged for starting in 2024.
But I mean, you know, runtimes are expensive, Scott.
And it's very hard to spook.
I mean, we all have to pay Microsoft for .NET, right?
Mm-hmm. The thing that Unity is built on.
I don't remember .NET license off the time, but I'm pretty sure it's open source now.
It was a joke.
Okay, yes.
That was the joke.
Okay, I was gonna say like they were going after Java specifically with the free thing, so I don't know.
No. Microsoft's looking at this and they're just jelly. They're like, huh?
Yeah. How come we didn't come up with that?
Yeah.
So the rollout of this is also kind of controversial because like they announced that there was a public Unity repo that was like allowing people to track changes, and they kind of, and that includes license changes, and they kind of took that down and then amended their licenses very, very quietly before anyone could really notice that they're basically giving themselves the ability to retroactively change all of these terms of services and so on and so forth,
including the clause that says they won't do that.
Yes, which is we've investigated ourselves and determined that we've done nothing wrong. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So the question of developer trust has come up, and we in the show notes we got a post from Gary Newman. We all know and love Gary. I was also seeing similar sentiments from Rami Ismail on Twitter, where it's basically most developers aren't going to fall within like the sales threshold or the install threshold. But the fact that they're doing it this way, the fact that they're trying to like sneak stuff into the license,
shady as hell about it.
Yeah. Oh, it's completely shady as hell.
And you say developers, but not just developers. What if the developer is looking to get purchased? They're going to Discovery. The people who are going to buy them are going to be like, "Well, you're making a game with Unity. Can we trust you?"
Mm-hmm.
And that might affect their sale price or whatever, right?
Like, right. Yeah. Imagine like Devolver Digital, like with as many like indie companies that you know they bring in, they're like, what engine are you using, by the way? Because that's going to be cutting into their profits.
To that point, Game Pass and stuff like that, they were saying, oh, we're not going to charge the end user developer. We're going to be charging Microsoft. We're going to charge Valve.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
We're going to charge Microsoft, Sony, Nintendo.
And they're going to be like, what's that game engine you're using? Unity? No. Maybe you want to use like XNA or something.
Easy peasy, man.
Yeah. Unreal. We got some partnerships with Tim. Yeah. But yeah, and that, you know, even they say, oh, well, it's going to be based on like per device fingerprints. That's easy enough to spoof. And there's like a lot of malicious shit you can do. If I wanted to charge a developer a lot of money, I could just create a script that creates a virtual machine, installs your game, deletes the virtual machine, installs a new virtual machine, installs the game.
QEMU, KVM.
Well, I think one of the things.
Spin one up, install, bye.
Scott, you've got your hands on with the Unity. So one of the things I saw a lot of people bring up, and I said, how are you going to track this? Unity, and to quote them, they said, we are going to leverage our own proprietary data model, so you can appreciate that, well, we can't really go into detail, but we believe it gives us an accurate determination of the number of times the runtime is distributed. All right, that's some straight up, just trust me on this bro bullshit right there.
Mm. Bro, yeah, don't worry about it.
Make some shit up and you'll never know.
Yeah.
Look at this graph.
Okay, like I said, you've worked for companies like Unity. How would that sit? And in this theoretical situation of like, so we don't even know how you're going to be tracking our installs and what you're going to charge us? We just trust you on that?
Yeah, I've seen some people complain about it, but I'm thinking at that point, they're already angry. And the response, even excluding that, would still be only four-letter words. So like, yeah, I mean, end user trust, having all that extra tracking possible in the end, you know, user stuff, like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things I can think of, like, you know.
Well, gathering telemetry, like a couple of years ago when I realized like it was brought to my attention, I think we talked about it on the show that Unity had telemetry like default on all the time. I'm like, oh, okay, watch, I'll fix that in the router. It'll take 10 seconds. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So really easy to set a pie hole.
I make a point of removing those packages when I create a new install. I can't guarantee that I've been 100% successful, but I'm pretty sure that I've been set it to remove those.
Well, I mean, even if you include that, I mean, you can, as a developer publisher, you can have the option in game to enable disable telemetry, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've seen it. I believe what you're talking about is one is enabled the package manager. You could actually remove the entire module. And it only track editor, is if I remember correctly, but it's been about 2 years since I've seen that setting, so I'm not sure exactly. But yeah, there is telemetry that is enabled by default. But last I remember, the developer, if they know to look in the package manager, which is kind of a weird place to look for it, can remove it.
Like, why would I bother? I'm just making a game, bro.
Telemetry,
no. Bye.
And honestly, what is to stop people from just like setting up a firewall block for like the Unity phone home thing?
But didn't you see? They have special sauce, Jordan. Booga booga.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they get.
Trust me, bro.
It's the Steam charts method of.
They're going to enforce it by obfuscating exactly how they're doing it so no one will be able to block it.
Yeah, that's a good way to make sure somebody finds out exactly what metrics you're using, Unity.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Yes.
Some of the reception has been a little wild because, like, you know, whenever someone makes a controversial move in the tech space, usually there are some yahoos that immediately jump to making death threats. Except this time, death threats were coming from inside the house, man. the employees were not having it. They're like, "Yo, this is a bad idea. I'm gonna blow up the office."
Dude, yeah, okay, on top of that, that was right, exactly. Strange timing on that one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that sounds like some interesting fiction story that I would write. And it's going to be great when this is like the made for TV movie, right? That's going to be a scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The Hallmark version of this.
I would watch this on Hallmark.
Or whatever that, the guy who makes all those police shows, Dick Wolf, I think his name is. Dick Wolf.
Yeah, Law and Order, Special Unity Unit.
Oh man, so Scott is you might have know this. Is when I first read this, they're going to be doing, if you agree to the new terms of service, which you have to do to continue using Unity when this comes at the end of the year. This is going to apply to projects retroactively, correct?
Yeah. So they that is what the license that they put back up said. There's still a lot of time for them to, you know, get sued. But
do you think there's going to be a class action?
Well, I mean, if people signed on to it and they didn't upgrade their editor, I don't see. I mean, I'm not sure class action, but I mean, I don't see how they could enforce it if someone had a copy of that license and the editor version that they used and they never updated it. I don't. And I know there's been some developers that stick long Unity versions ago. Like, how many times do we see the Unity scream of nope after, you know, 2019 was around? So I don't know how they enforce on that. Maybe they just won't, and they just don't say they aren't. Like, it's possible they could just have that telemetry in and just never remove a bill and just pretend that they're doing it so the people who are paying aren't getting mad. But I don't know. Like, that one I can't really give a good answer for because it hasn't happened yet. But if it does happen, I mean, there is, from what I understand, and if people signed the original license and they didn't update it to a new license, if they happen to notice, then, like, I don't know what they can legally do. They legally said they couldn't do this.
So that kind of pivots to like what is a developer to do, right? Because there's a lot of studios out there that are saying like, hey, we're not going to use Unity anymore. We have our game that we're starting to work on, and we're going to like delay it so that we can transition to a new engine. But there are a lot of games where
that's not a good sign.
And beyond that, it's like what about the games that are already like 80 to 90% done in Unity? Their development is probably going to stretch to the end of the year. They're going to get hit by this, and there's no realistic way for them to pivot. They're going to fall under this whether they like it or not. And
hopefully get enough revenue they can recoup and just, you know, take the licks and keep moving the next time if they can, assuming Unity doesn't relent or something like that.
You know, initially when this was first announced to everybody, I sit back and I'm like, okay, you know what this feels like? Because we've seen it before and we'll see it again. It's the play, like, introduce some just completely unbelievable BS, like, right there. Give the internet a few days and come back with, like, okay, we're gonna, you know, we've listened, we've understand, and just, you know, make it look like you've dialed back and just keep introduce the things that you initially wanted to get introduced. You know, they've done that with the whole, you know, Chairman Mao.
Dummy contract.
Reddit was a good example when they had the interim CEO and they made all the changes. And then they, you know, she left and they put in the real CEO. And Reddit's like, yeah, we did it. And like, they didn't change anything, dipshits. We did it, internet. You know, that I don't think we're going to get that. The only rollback. Yes.
I was just gonna say, like, it was the same thing with the D&D stuff earlier this year, except
yes,
we actually
got the coast, right?
Yeah.
They did that. The only rollbacks I've seen is they've apparently, because initially this was even going to apply to WebGL,
browser fingerprinting.
Yeah,
oh boy, yeah.
And they were like, okay, maybe we'll roll that back. I was reading a guy who made a post on Hacker News. Is like, that was my entire business, and like, fortunately, they rolled that back. So is moving? Have you even cracked open Godot?
I have not cracked open Godot. I've done a bunch of weird engines, including Lumberyard and
Ogre 3D.
I've even done Unigen at one point. It was brief, and the contract didn't actually go anywhere. But not Godot. I have not done Godot yet. I am very interested in it, but it's just never had the opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's going to have a tough time on this. This is like one of those times where I wish all the pieces were together, because we talked about like one of the big hangups for Godot is no way for you personally as the developer to get a console port out of Godot, because of the nature of being open source, and they won't do licensing issues in SDK.
Can't ship the Xbox SDK.
I thought there was something where they were able to, if you go on a private license, I thought they said Godot
they have a porting service.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They have a company that they started, and like to that point, like, Now's the time they gotta like start shopping that around. They gotta start like getting funding. They gotta start pumping the gas on that, because there's gonna be a lot of developers.
Yeah, someone posted a picture on Discord about like the number of new additions made to a bunch of different GitHub repos, and most of them were like 400, 300, and at the top there was Godot with 4,500. So clearly people are paying attention.
The thing though is like Godot still is, especially for 3D, in a very immature state. Like it is getting better, and like the progress they're making is astounding, but like we don't have a lot of like well-received games, well-received 3D games that are done in Godot,
because people are still playing with it. I mean, it's the whole knowledge base thing too. Like, if you're going to get into game dev, man, you're going to go where you can find the most help. And this is not just game dev, I don't assume. Correct me if I'm right, Scott, but like with any other project, like, where's the largest knowledge base? When I type into the Google box how I do thing, whatever project gives me the most results for how I do thing with a wealth of like different ways to do a thing, that's usually the thing I'm attracted to.
Or education. right? Like, what are schools teaching?
Right. It's going to be the easiest one to pick up. And Unity's definitely got that. Like, they've spent some money doing that, man. But
yeah, they actually spend a lot of time developing their learning stuff, resources. And I mean, there is a lot of errata and stuff like that.
Oh, imagine, like, if you're in, like, year two of, like, going to school and you've been learning Unity. Like, that's your thing. Like, God damn it.
Do you know about this unless you're actively following it outside of class? Because probably the people teaching aren't going to be the ones telling you, oh yeah, no, Unity are being naughty.
Sometimes. Depends on your prof.
Sometimes. Depends on the person teaching. Yes.
So, a couple of things about this. You know, it's just sketchy. I don't know what the end game here is. Self-immolation, possibly. But it does come down to a bigger topic that I was thinking about later this week after I've had a little bit of time to digest this. Because when you look at Unity, and if you're just looking at the Unreal Engine itself, I don't think either of those business models are sustainable. They're just, to me, they're not. Because, you know, I read a really good analogy that I'm going to, like, co-op. And if you just imagine, like, Adobe gave away their software for free, you can have it. But if something that you created with Adobe, once it hits a certain threshold, you've made enough money off of it, then we want some royalties. We'll let that kick in.
I guess that doesn't. It's not really a fair equivalence because with Adobe, you're producing one piece of media, not exactly software.
Well, you can sell to individual multiple times, you know?
Yes, pay per view.
At one point, that's going
to
leak.
Which Adobe would love. Adobe would love to charge you for every time you look at something made with Photoshop.
Absolutely. I'm sure if they could, they would.
There's actually a patent a long time ago where they're trying to use the Kinect to go and see if people were watching a TV and use that to license the number of, it's a patent that doesn't necessarily use, use that to license the number of views.
Well, to get back to the point here, This is a dumb business model for a game engine. Like, just give it away and, like, hope, you know, a couple of your big fishes. And this is really targeted to the big fishes, the people that are already paying the money to Unreal. Now, how does Epic get away with it? Pretty easy. They got all the money from Forkknife, Fall Guys, Psyonix, Bandcamp. They made some smart investments when you initially, like, what are they doing buying these non? They're like, oh, revenue stream. They can afford it. What did Unity go? They went and bought Weta Digital. Then they merged with an advertising mobile ad company, IronSource. That's what they've been up to the last 2 years.
Malware distribution company, even, because that IronSource shit was just
indistinguishable,
straight up,
Adware.
Then I did some. Unity's never had a profitable quarter in their entire history.
And their entire published, like, the from when they were doing their IPO in the early days, they were profitable, but, like, that was, you know,
and like. When you say sustainable, I wonder how much is, like, they could actually have a profitable business, but it's not a year after year exponential growth type business.
But they could have a profitable business, but they can't spend, you know, $2.8 billion buying Weta Digital.
No. Well, yeah, absolutely. But like,
if you look at the stock price, that was
all after.
Right.
Was that before or after they merged with Iron Mountain?
That was right before.
Right before. Yes.
But I mean, you know, to what Scott's saying, like. Unity's been lighting money on fire for market share, like getting the word out there, education, like whatever, which has never really been a bad thing. However, we're in this different mode now because after the IPO, because raising money is a completely different equation from making money. And that's where Unity needs to be right now. And I was like, didn't they have a game program? Weren't they, you know, going to make their own Forkknife game that, you know, that constant little, let's sell some hats and cosmetics. And Yeah, they did. Nobody wants to take a stab at that, and I don't blame you. That was their in-house game. That project was just nope last year. Reasons, like, whatever. Like, and it was not it was a full-fledged, fleshed-out 3D model, like, exploration world game. I'm like, oh, well, then Unity, Scott, you might be keeping track of this. Apple's exclusive partner. For the Vision Pro. How do you think that's going to pan out?
I was actually joking with some people before this about, like, depending on how hard Unity's hit from that, I can see Apple just, like, eating them. Just being,
buying
like...
them.
Like,
oh, See, but that would be a thing. That would be a great middle finger to Tim, right? Well, I guess other Tim. There's too many Tims involved in this situation now. There's Apple Tim and there's Epic Tim. But if Apple bought out Unity,
Tim Shaver shows up. Oh. Go away! It's already confusing.
Yeah. Well, I mean that Tim's owned by Microsoft, so right. There's just like Tims all around. Too many Tims.
Player three, and like Apple would do it if they. I think they're going to be smart enough not to come after Apple because Apple will. Not buy them right now. Apple will sit back and wait a year or two.
Oh no, Apple mm-hmm. is Apple are sharks. They won't.
Yeah, they're like let's just wait until right around. Before they fold. You're like, okay, now we'll pick you up.
Yeah, but I can see like that could be an end game, but it's not one that shareholders will like. It's be one to be forced into because Apple wouldn't.
Well, one last thing before we get out of here is a good Reddit post that you know. Kind of makes a lot of sense because we can all agree that the CEO of Unity is a scumbag, right?
Yes.
But he's not was the only CEO scumbag. Of Electronic Arts for many, many years. I wonder where he's learned his skills.
There are no shortage of scumbags. And we got a couple more.
I mean, you know, to be like right here on the top of this, because Zidget is the Reddit post, and this comes from our Unity. And I read this and like, this is a good way to think about it. You know, he's undoubtedly an asshole. They don't let you be a CEO unless you are one.
But
very few exceptions. But he has been the CEO of Unity since 2014. He oversaw the progress from that engine that lets you port games to anything to the platform that every single mobile game is the backbone. You know, like he's been around to like get Unity as hyped as it is. Now, what changed in 2020 when Unity went public? A bunch of shitheads bought their way into Unity's board of directors. The CEO works for the board. So here's some names, Tomo, Rilo, Figure, whatever, and Iron Source people and board members, new shareholders, and they're calling the shots now. He's like a CEO. Like, you wonder why this dude was selling off his stock because he's like, these idiots are going to fuck everything up.
Yeah, I will do what you say, and I'm going to take my golden parachute. Fuck off.
Yeah, selling the stocks ahead. Knowing full well what was coming, that used to be illegal or at least frowned upon. So I guess he hasn't learned why he got kicked off of EA.
No, he's got millions upon millions of dollars to land on.
Yeah.
He's like, but I mean, this was a good thing to read through of like, even when that guy, the CEO is like, I'm gonna get the fuck out of here, man. Like that's pay attention to that. Right.
Indeed. Actually, one thing we used to do with a peace perspective is when we want to see what's happening, we look for when people took long periods of vacation out of nowhere, because that's probably they're burning off their time off before they're leaving. So it's actually a tactic that journalists sometimes use.
So before we get out of here, again, thank you for your time, Scott. What do you think the future of Unity is going to be if they don't roll anything back and they're like, no, we're going to stick with this. This is the way it is. How much damage is this going to do? Because Jordan's brought it up, the trust issue. Like, especially even if you roll back something like this, you know that they're capable of wanting to do it, right?
They're going to try again, just in a different way that's less obvious.
They're going to have a puppet. Like, give us your money for games. That's how they're going to do it. It's going to be weird as fuck.
It'll be like a weird way of digital kind of.
Yeah. It's going to be horrifying.
Our new CEO, Gollum.
Precious. Oh, man. Yeah. So what do you think is going to be the future of Unity? This time next year, 300 plus days from now, where's Unity at?
So the practical thing is I can see them still having, I mean, bleeding off a bunch of customers, but still having a hardcore base of core developers that are just going to stick with them regardless, even if it's kind of stupid.
Well, again, for the smaller developers,
for the new people trying it, I don't think that's going to make much of a difference that's mobile gamers. Easy engine.
Mobile gamers, right? Like these are a lot of mobile games already like really low effort. They're not going to take the effort to go and move to another engine. They're gonna like figure out a way to like increase their own monetization so that when Apple or whatever takes or Unity takes their cut, they don't hurt as much. That's
the monetization issue, because one of the things that Unity is doing is they're offering a you don't pay the install fees if you adhere to our own in-house monetization ad platform instead of using the external one. Yes.
Which, I mean, I'm not sure if they're going to be legally allowed to do that, but they've been saying that. Apparently they've been
it's still sketchy as hell. This is Oracle.
They've been promising it to people, so
this is Oracle. Sign up for Oracle Cloud so you can run our databases or we're going to start auditing you guys a lot.
Yeah. It'd be a shame, you know.
Oh, is that database running on 3 CPUs instead of 2?
That's going on there. It would be a shame if someone bracketed it.
Pull another rack, stab it a little bit there. There we go.
It's the bit from The Simpsons where Bill Gates buys out Homer's company. Buy him out, boys. The baseball bat smashing his shit.
All right. Coming up next, Pedro's going to tell us about 20 years of Steam because we're getting old.
Green olive shits.
20 years. Admittedly, I haven't been on Steam for 20 years. I think
I haven't been alive for 2005? 20
years. Yeah, so it's been just a little under 20 years, but yeah, they've been around for a while, and to celebrate it, they've decided, let's do a sale. Let's have a sale go down the line. Yeah. go down the line to show what they've done for each year and what meme was relevant for that year. And they did a very good job. They got a bunch of Valve characters. Yes, we're all old. Got a bunch of Valve characters to do the meme faces, all like right, the MySpace face.
Yeah, okay, MySpace.
Yeah, Tom from MySpace.
That's just Gordon.
That's Aragorn.
Sora.
Right, yeah, that's right. Aragorn.
Yeah, it took a minute.
Yeah.
Sales.
The fire girl.
The fire girl. Yeah. All right.
Day of defeat. All right. We got.
That one, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what that one is.
They mentioned that 2006 was the year that Pluto was demoted from being a regular planet to a
dwarf planet.
Yeah,
but nobody tosses a dwarf planet.
Yeah, no. No, I very much appreciate a lot of what Valve has done, especially the Linuxy bits and the Steam Deck. I agree with a lot of what they've done, and I look forward to the non-VR things that they have lined up in the future.
Keyboard crap. I'm done with it.
Yeah. We got Rick Astley's Rick Roll
and Keyboard Cat.
I want a keyboard crab.
Keyboard crab.
The Twilight books.
Twilight. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I would not have gotten that, but I'm on a boat. Oh, what's that? Just I'm on a boat.
I'm on a boat. Yeah. Because you had to get on the boat for Left 4 Dead 2.
Lady Gaga's meat dress.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Makes sense.
Let's see.
Put that on a witch.
Nyan
Wheatley. Nyan Wheatley. All right. 2011.
Gangnam style.
It's so weird seeing the Counter-Strike terrorists.
Frozen?
Frozen, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Frozen, and it's a Dota character.
Yeah, she's the ice character from
the press. Okay. Yeah, all right.
She's the ice character from Dota. Yeah.
Call of Duty.
The dress.
Yeah, the dress. Trainer posted that one earlier. I like it. Oh, so that one was so good. Arthur with the fucking VR.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're into 2016 now.
We're getting recent.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Cave Johnson with the lemons. Yeah, that got me. Yeah,
distracted boyfriend. Very good. Very good.
That one got a good chuckle out of me. This is the first words that Chell has ever said canonically.
Oh, really?
Yes. Chell has never spoken up to this point, and she wants Wheatley to play Despacito.
Okay. Oh, okay. Solid cat.
Yeah. The lady cat. And the cat with Dota characters. Yes.
Was that 2019? Oh my god.
2020.
So, okay, I take exception to that. That should be Gordon Freeman, because it was the actor who played the Flash in front of the Flash's graveyard. It shouldn't be G-Man.
Oh.
It should be Gordon Freeman in a suit going, yeah.
2021?
I don't know what this one is.
Oh no, are we no longer with it?
Oh no! No,
apparently not. 2021's too recent.
The children!
Save us.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, we got the sexy costumes in 2022. All okay. Right, yeah. Sexy Steam Deck. Steamy handheld gaming computer. And Barbie and Ken. Yep.
Ah.
Yeah. It's the Barbie mugshots with Counter-Strike 2.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, some of those were pretty good. It was a fun little romp down memory lane. They actually mentioned Artifact and Steam Machines. You know, good for them. If I was doing a retrospective, maybe I would be tempted to do a bit of a revisionist history. But they showed their stuff, warts and all. Like sand through the hourglass, so go the unplayed games now, in our Steam libraries.
Think about it, and it was really easy for me to figure out when was the first time I opened Steam. Because I remember it was when they announced that Portal was free, and I'm like, when was Portal free? Google's May 24th, 2010. I was like, right, that was the first time I installed Steam with Wine, and I was like, I got my Portal thing, closed it, never went back. Until, little did I know, a game was going to come out in 2011 called Skyrim. And I wanted to make an installation video for it. So I went out of the way to make sure that I bought it on DVD because I didn't want to fight with Steam. I was like, okay, this guide's going to be way easier if I don't. The first fucking update to Skyrim tied it to Steam. I still remember that. Not going to let that go. Well,
yeah. Nowadays, like, the boxes just come with a download code. You don't even get a disc.
Mm-hmm. Dude, yeah, in the year after that. So in 2012 was when we got our first beta for Steam on Linux. And here we are, kids.
November 2012, that I had to send an email to Valve saying, please don't ban me. I just got this working and I need to get a package going for Ubuntu. Please don't ban me. And 5 minutes later, I had an email saying, you've been invited to the beta. Oh, thank you, God.
and then 5 minutes later from now, you get an email that says, hey, remember that thing that you did back in 2012? Well, that was illegal. We're terminating your
Steam. Oh, yeah. Valve time. LOL, JK.
But I am of an age, though, or my Steam account is of an age, I should say, where when I first installed it, it looked a little something like what we're going to talk about next.
Oh, yeah. It was still very green.
Something like this. I completely missed out on these days. I know. I have no nostalgia for the green.
It was just the left side. There wasn't like any sort of like grid. Mm-hmm. It was just the list of games.
Well, okay.
It was just, if you go into view and put small mode, it was that, but green.
Ah, yep. If you want to relive the greenness that was 2004, you can kind of. I mean, it still mostly works, and you got to go through some hoops, because I started reading about, like, because I remember installing a theme with the SFP, mm-hmm. which you can get to work on Linux, but it was too much of a pain in the ass for me to try it out just for the funsies, and the latest update. It's broken all the pop-up windows because they did a complete redesign. They don't know if they're going to update it, but I thought this would just be fun as a quick little, aw, why would you ever want to do that?
Yeah, I have a powerful sense memory of seeing an interface that looks like this on a CRT, on like a 14-inch CRT monitor in my parents' basement. And now I live in an adult basement, so.
Go check out our show notes, OG Steam Library. It's there if you need that in your life. You know what? If you can simplify it, good way to prank your friends, right?
But I it doesn't bring good memories to me because no one I knew actually liked Steam back when it was green. It was the shit client that made so that games ran worse, kept updating every time you wanted to start a game, and you had to wait for like 5 minutes for it to fucking update, and it would crash for no reason, taking the game down with it. So in the age of single core and dual core processors back in 2004 when I started using it, no, Steam was shit. I hated Steam. I can't get the rose tinted glasses for that particular shade of green. A lot of people forget about
this, and we brought it up multiple times on this show. You know, when we see like the Epic launcher and the GOG launcher, like, why are they so bad? Steam was not that good for a long time.
They've
been
doing the
R&D on it. They've been working on it for 20 years to get into the state it is right now. And where's it at right now? You're like, it's all right.
It's serviceable.
Epic has a shopping cart now, so
they you know, smaller do. Groups. So, Jordan, I got to admit, I just tried to move these sliders around on screen. Didn't work.
Yeah, that'll happen sometimes.
Yep.
But yeah, SteamOS 3.5 preview is out and available. Not unlike Dungeons & Dragons 3.5. It ruins everything and makes you rebuy all the books you own. Now, this comes with some improved visual support. You can now have VR and HDR in external displays. There's separation between stretch and zoom scaling, as well as ways to handle different aspect ratios. Storage will now auto mount in SteamOS, which is nice. You don't have to like go through the UI to format the disk anymore. If you pop it in, it shows up as a drive. Someone ran a Pacman-SYU on the Arch Linux install, so now it's all nice and up to date. The latest KDE Plasma stuff that lets you do system updates from desktop mode now, which is pretty nice. That's always
good. Yes, it's very good. And it is a new major version. So if you're opting into this, all of your root FS modifications will be gone because it will just load in the new atomic image. And
can you imagine being at Valve knowing that that's going to be the case? Like, God damn, here they come. Here they come. Here come the emails. Here they come.
So yeah, if you made changes, now's the time to go back and look through them before you opt in. But yeah, to answer Ven's question in the show notes, yes, Linux does have HDR ever since October last year. That was the earliest mention I could find of it in the GameScope GitHub repo.
Well, I followed Joshy on Mastodon, and he was posting last week. He's like, I kind of sort of have it a little bit working ish with this one game, so that's why I was curious.
Yeah, that one game has its own issues, but there's a few other games that it already works, but you need to be running GameScope. So if you have any other compositor going, you need to run your game inside GameScope in order to be able to use HDR. And if you want the monitor to say, oh, that's all HDR, so you have to be running it in full screen in that monitor. So it works very well on the Steam Deck.
I mean, that's what you want with your 7-inch display, right? HDR?
Darkness. That's the thing. And with the new tweaked color profiles and everything else.
And Valve, it would look a lot sweeter if that display was OLED, wouldn't it?
That would be one of the upgrades that I would like.
1080p screen, just drain the battery even faster.
No. 720p, actual 720p proper. OLED, and okay, if you want to do like high refresh rate up to 75 hertz would be fine, but 60 is okay.
So one other thing that comes with this update is apparently they've improved Bluetooth stability. I have not tangoed with Bluetooth on my Steam Deck because as mentioned, it has a very limited battery life and I don't want anything else to bleed off that,
right? That's a radio that costs.
Yeah, that costs precious power that I don't have. Have you messed around with any of that stuff at all? And Bluetooth headphones, controllers, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, the headphones. I paired the blue Sony Bluetooth headset that I have for just having the Steam Deck while I'm walking around.
Yeah, I have a pair of wired headphones because.
Yeah, that works too.
Hey man, voltage don't grow on trees.
Yeah, it doesn't. Someone was a big we got new games to talk about. Someone was new a big games. Fan of House's lack of a naming convention. This is Untitled Ghost Game, a free multiplayer co-op game where you hunt ghosts made by some fine Indian dudes with a chicken and some cows. I'm pretty sure the cows are the QA team.
Are they the ones who made it, or did they just pay them to do the video?
I don't know. I think their lead engineer was the chicken. At least I hope so. But anyways, it has online multiplayer, which is like a shock, especially for a free game. Those are few and far between. But yeah, you go around in your hipster pixel game and you hunt ghosts with your friends using a variety of tools. And yeah, this seems like something that could be decent after show bait.
Maybe possibly. I mean, it is priced to sell. I mean, it is free. I went through this and I looked at it. I don't know if I downloaded it or not, but it does seem like
board.
Hide and seek with ghost, right? And like the thing is like once you find the ghost, you don't get to murderate it. You got to call in the exorcist. You're like nah, 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 nah. Then like Ghost Napa shows up.
Yeah, you just have to identify what kind of haunting it is. There was another game, I can't remember the name of it now, that you basically, it was asymmetric like this. Possibly, yes.
Yes, it's a haunted bed. It's
Phasmophobia, yes.
What if you have haunted socks?
And yeah, you find out, so the ghost is doing this and it's doing this. So it's probably this particular haunting. And then you just call a vote or whatever. It's like, no, it's this one. And if you got it right, you get bonus. If not, you get nothing.
I just prefer calling Ernie Hudson to deal with my ghosts. I think that's the way to do it.
Well, I mean, I read across this the other day. Let me see if I can enlarge in that.
Zoom and enhance.
Just your regular side of the road case with the doll in it. And I was thinking to myself, if I take this home and it's not haunted, I'm going to be mad.
Right, yeah.
If
I take this home and I wake up in the morning, I'm going to be so upset.
Just a little bit cross, right? Like, that better be. Like, where's the elf blood?
That should have fucking come to life and plunged the knife through my chest. Man, like, come on.
Yeah.
Only slightly haunted. Gently used haunted
70%
doll.
70% haunted.
Yeah.
Discount haunted merchandise. Oh.
Yeah, listen, we only hire the laziest ghosts.
It's technically haunted, but I don't think you'll ever be
able
to
tell. That's what you get when you let them form the ghost union, Jordan. What did you expect?
Yeah, you let the ghosts unionize, and then all of a sudden they want lunch breaks. What are they going to eat? They're dead.
Makes no sense. Starfield, right? That's a video game. Yes. People are still playing it. And, you know, it's mixed, man. You either like Starfield, there's a third option. You dislike it. The third option is like...
What's a Starfield?
Well, okay, four options. There's that one.
That fourth option's not a very common one. Everyone knows Starfield.
You know it exists. And then there's people, I think, just hate playing it right now. And they're like, it's going to get better eventually. But make of it what you will. I mean, it's sandboxy, shooty. It's got a bunch of elements. You know, it's like people said it's not Skyrim in space. It's Fallout in space, which I'm like, why isn't
it? It is very much both of those things at once. Yes.
But the one thing we can all agree on.
What is Fallout but Skyrim with guns? Let's be real.
Yeah.
The one thing we can all agree on is it's not optimized for PC.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Even after Todd Howard, when it's like, optimized, you're just going to have to update.
Correct, Pedro. Once he said, yes, I will optimize it. Watch. I said words. Yeah. Now it's optimized. Yeah.
This is another one of these situations where it looks like soft engine programmers don't really understand how DirectX 12 works. We've seen this with Elden Ring. I'd say it wasn't DirectX 12. It was DirectX 12 and resizable bar. But this is similar. This is bad usage of the DirectX ID 3D12 graphics command list :execute indirect method and its improper use therein. So Hans Christian Andersen, not Hans Christian Andersen, the guy who wrote The Little Mermaid, the guy who writes VKD 3D Proton, he's got some fixes for it.
He does, man, because he walked out. He's like, you know, it might not end up ever getting optimized for PC, but it sure as fuck's going to be optimized for Linux. And here's a PR for VKD3D-Proton. You know it, you love it, and you probably played around with it. And one of the big issues, well, a couple of them. Apparently, Starfield allocates memory incorrectly. It abuses execute indirect, creates multiple execute indirect calls instead of batching them. And yeah, I might have guessed that slows things down just a little bit.
So, especially when they return nothing. So it's literally stalling the game for a null value.
I mean, we're not talking about like the, what was it? GTA 5 performance, dude. But I mean, it's good to see work's being done on this. And this is where the type of work takes place, right? And to what Jordan's saying, somebody didn't know how to DX 12, bro. Or you can't really say they rushed it out the door either now, can we?
No, they delayed that shit.
Yeah, no, Microsoft looked at it the first time. It's like, you're not going to release that when we own you. Just, you're not. Sorry.
And this is one of the nice things about having open source driver space. I honestly kind of hate it when I see patches like this, because it means that the game devs aren't really doing their job. But, you know, with the open source driver space, we can actually like identify and fix these issues, because we can see how the driver is running. We can see what it's doing, and then we can submit a patch to correct the behavior. So and
you mentioned Elden Ring. Elden Ring, when it first came out, it ran more consistently on Linux and the Steam Deck, because the Steam Deck officially came out on the exact same day, than it did on Windows, because on Windows it was stuttery and
because it
wildly inconsistent.
It didn't implement a resizable bar properly, which again, they intercept the call in the driver and they do the right thing, and then it works all of a sudden. Surprise.
I think it's a big shock because we're all in our little PC gaming bubble, whether or not you realize it. We're rounding error to console gaming. Mm-hmm. We are. I mean, I've seen that asked online. Like, why aren't these companies spending more time polishing their PC?
We don't buy ports. Those games at full price. We wait till they go on sale. No. Right? Yeah.
And we have refunds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And you don't like the $70 price tag? You wait a year.
Uh-huh. You wait for half off. You wait for 80% off.
you wait for that Humble Bundle, baby.
Oh, no. Do you know? Okay, speaking of like great sales, Green Man Gaming had the Avengers. I want to call it something other than the Avengers. It's like the B-movie.
It looks like they're stunt doubles.
The Avengers starring their stunt doubles.
From Spaceballs. Yeah.
100%. And they had the Ultimate YOLO Turbo Definitive Edition for $4. Now that
everyone hated that game.
Wasn't enough for me to pick it up until I was like, oh, and it's getting delisted from Steam at the end of the month. I'm like, fuck, I spent $4. All right, let's I'm gonna add it to my collection of delisted games. And I was like, well, I got it. I might as well install it, see what it is. I went through like the tutorial thing and it showed me how to play Iron Man. And I'm like, it's a little clunky, but maybe we could get into this somehow. I go to my first mission and it starts me off with Black Panther. I'm like, then why did you just spend fucking 20 minutes teaching me how to play Iron Man or the control? Oh shit, the controls are exact same. Never mind. All right. So yeah, that's my review of that. slightly off topic. Starfield. I'm not gonna end up playing it. Jordan's not gonna end up playing it. Pedro will end up playing it when either somebody buys it for him or it's
I'll like end up playing it.
I've already been offered it by two different people and I've rejected them both times. I'd love to, but I don't have time right now. Thank you.
Again, I'm waiting for the modders to take a crack at it. Like every Bethesda game gets better once the community identifies all the shit in the game that didn't work and then just makes a mod that takes it out of the game so you can skip it. Like lockpicking in Skyrim.
That was the best part of Skyrim.
Lockpicking in Skyrim wasn't even the worst. Like, the entire magic system and the mage quests for the College of Winterhold, those were shit. Those
didn't do any of those.
Not the worst, one of the worst bits of Skyrim. Is it shit?
I played enough Skyrim until I wasn't scared of the dragons anymore. Once that wore off.
I want the mod that turns all the spaceships in Starfield into Macho Man Randy Savage.
Well, I mean, you know somebody's going to create a Skyrim planet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely. It's going to be full of Macho Man Randy Savage dragons.
They're just going to load the entire map of Skyrim on a planet and you just drop down and away you go.
You cruise up to the planet and the planet is just a Macho Man Randy Savage's head with the hat on.
Starts chasing your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Starts launching Slim Jims off from the surface. You gotta dodge them.
Oh man, intercontinental ballistic Slim Jims. That's too long for a show title. Don't waste your time. Here's a little bit of a blast from the past. Pedro, did you put this in the show notes?
I did. I saw the little notification show up on the top of my Steam news. I was like, oh, wait, no, that came out today? Oh.
Speaking of like things from 20 years ago or like from the early days of Steam on Linux, a game we've all played, Distance, Survive the Distance. It was a contender. It's definitely an honorable mention in early access perpetuity.
It finally, the soundtrack gets a lot of play on our live streams.
It used to, yeah. And it finally came out, and it came out in a state of like, let's just slap a 1.0 on it and push it out the door, which was really fucking disappointing considering how good the game was. Never get a lot of traction, you know, but there's an update looking for some community levels. Yeah, they are. Well, the developer who's still working on it. I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. There's an announcement. It's going to be coming out. It's getting ported to retro consoles. And by that, I mean, it's getting a PS4 port. Pretty nice. There's been some fixes for the letterboards for the cloud storage because it was filling up people's cloud storage. So that's been sorted. And there, like I said, there's been a call to the community for levels. I was like, how many people are still playing this game now? No one looked it up. More than I thought. There's the average is about 20 if you squint a little bit. Maybe closer to 15.
I wonder what those leaderboards are like. Is it just like people just competing over fractions of seconds at this point?
It's that 20 people, right?
Yeah.
It's
no, it's the cheaters. Then it's those 20 people.
Ah, Pedro Mateus would know. Being one
No. I mean the cheaters, the ones that finished all the tracks in less than a second because they just teleported themselves to the end.
Now, the thing that killed this game, whether or not you agree with me, okay, that's fine, is that they never went back and created racing tracks, because I think, Pedro, am I correct? Every map has a like ginormous skip through it, right?
Most of them do, yeah. You just have to find out where it is. Some of them are very well telegraphed. Mm-hmm. That's why I learned them, because I didn't go looking for them. It's like, oh, that looks like that bit of the track. Oh, it is. Okay.
Right. And, you know, for people that wanted to get in, and it does have a level editor, just wanted to get in and do some racing. I was like, we don't fucking have to want to go hunt around and like research where the skips are. We just want to fucking race. And there were enough people with that similar mindset that it just never gained any traction. It's $24.99, and this game came out in 2018. That's almost
this was in early access for a while,
too. Oh, it was. I paid...
the Linux version's a bit buggy.
$120 for mine and Pedro copy.
Back on the Kickstarter.
On the Kickstarter. I'm like, just got it, and like controllers didn't work back in the days, man. I mean, it was a different time, kids. So, it's still around. It's coming to PS4.
And PS5.
And PS5.
Yeah, and PS5. It's like, I saw the PS4 release. It's like, are you genuinely just doing the PS4? And then I actually clicked on the blog post. It's okay. PS5 at the same time. Right. I know that Sony fired up.
I would have gotten more excited if it was like, we're doing this for the Wii U. I'm like, but fuck yes. All right.
But so actually,
I know that Sony fired up the PS4 printers during, you know, the Rona because of the shortage, but damn.
Speaking of Unity games, this is a Unity game, by the way.
Yes.
So updating to the latest version. So I hope it doesn't sell too well on PS5. Otherwise, our buddy's gonna be gonna be owing some money.
And it's also an old Unity game, which means you play it with Proton.
Yes.
Oh yeah. No. The Linux version is buggy. There's entire tracks that they just crash.
Yeah. So. This was like OG Unity Scream of Nope era, right? Like,
oh yeah. Well, Jordan, I don't think, Pedro, did you ever play the Beovania game, Bloodstained?
No.
Oh. I tried to get into that earlier this week.
Yeah, I saw you were posting, you were dealing with, like, the puppy boss?
Yeah, well, they were regular characters, yeah, just, like, little puppies with bows in their hair, but they're on a chain lane, and they try to eat you. It's very campy, very silly, by one of the creators of the Castlevania series, or the creator, I guess you should say. But when you said bug, man, because I got pretty good. I was at the last boss, and here's the strat to beat a boss in that game. You go all the way to the beginning of the map where the one shop is where you can buy the health potions. You buy every single health potion there is. All of them, the big, little, small, sideways ones. Then you go all the way back to the boss. Then you take that motherfucker and take him out. This is
the near automata strategy of 999 potions. We're doing it.
And the 100% success rate on this. Except when I got back to the boss and I spent all my money, and it was a ton of money because a lot of grinding in between these sections, even with fast travel, I'm down. I'm like, okay, got to start using the potions. None of them were in my inventory.
Ooh. The money was gone too?
Money was gone too, man.
Oh, no.
Like, I even went all the way back and I'm like, is something going to unglitch here? I'm like, nope.
I guess that's not rough. Deliberate. It's not like, no, this is the last boss. You don't get to use potions.
Well, it turns out it's not even really the last boss. If I had beaten them, that would have been the bad ending. You see, you don't do that. You do another 6 hours of convoluted bullshit, a little thing I like to call.
It's a Metroidvania, yes.
Castlevania was like one of the OG games that pioneered that, right?
Like, yes. But we're talking about like, oh no, you see, here's where you gotta cut the moon in half in the background with a sword.
Ah! Mm-hmm.
You want to get the good ending, you have to figure out that, yes, you can destroy the guild statues, but if you have what starts out as a bead, a clear bead, and you die 4 times with that bead equipped, it gets full of guilt, and then after you destroy the statue, a portal appears where the statue is, and you need to destroy all 7 statues and beat the gauntlets in all 7 portals to get the good ending.
That's why I never played Mario.
So- Yeah, and from the guy who brought you Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest. Yeah, just kneel in the corner here, and a hurricane will take you to the place where you need to go.
Clearly telegraphed.
Keiji Inafune, thank you.
I watched, what was it, Maximilian Dude play through the first time through the original Zelda, and there's some parts in original Zelda, I'm like, you get wrecked, man, with the...
Yeah, if you have no idea what the hell you're doing, if you're going in cold, like...
You're
yeah.
never gonna figure that out. It's like, what did you do back in the day? I'll tell you, you started playing another game at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, my video game rental at Blockbuster expired, so I picked a different one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, back on track. VKD3D Proton, just talking about it.
We got the news.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's the news. It's the second bit of VKD3D. This one is the roll-up of version 2.10, which includes the Starfield performance issues fixed and the Ratchet & Clank. Also, the performance issues that it had have also been addressed.
I kind of want to play that.
Yeah, it's one of those mascot games that were very, very popular in the PlayStation days.
I just like the old Ratchet. Like, I played the old Ratchet and Clank games. The weapons are just fun because they're goofy.
Yeah,
fire a thing at something that turns them into chickens, and then you can take the chickens and throw them at other enemies. It's great.
Mm-hmm. And they've also made a not entirely Vulkan-compliant implementation of Shader Model 6.7. It's opt-in for now because it's not entirely compliant, but it works, at least from their testing on AMD and NVIDIA. No word on the Intel Arc. I guess even the VKD3D folks have Intel cards yet. There was an Armored Core 6 bug that basically drove an entire rewrite of the descriptor set layouts in VKD3D. And here, I'd been hearing that, Armored Core 6 is the best From Software game on PC ever. There's still a niggling issue.
That's not a very high bar.
I'm just saying, what you're saying, that was like the Dark Souls of rewrites, though, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, effectively.
One other thing that comes in here is direct storage is now implemented through VKD3D Proton, so you can get that GPU decompression. We have it at home. Also, if you're playing Halo Infinite, no rebar for you. It causes CPU performance to eat poo. Sorry, boys.
I have that enabled.
I also have rebar enabled now that I could reinstall my operating system.
Even if you have it enabled, it just doesn't use the shared memory.
No.
Indeed.
I don't know fuck all what it does, but I got it enabled.
Yeah,
it's good to have it enabled nowadays because I don't know if NVIDIA is making active use of it, but I know both AMD and Intel require it effectively.
Mm.
Yeah, no, the Intel GPUs like straight up require rebar. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want them.
I don't buy my Intel GPUs to and expect them to work, man. I buy them to look at them.
Listen, you buy an Intel GPU as a project, that's a hobby, man.
Yeah,
you know, 5 years ago we called those AMD cards.
Yeah.
Up Mango next Huds? We got Mango HUD. Yeah, the new Mango HUD version is out, not 0.7 RC1. That's
speaking of AMD, Team Red.
Yeah. You can get the GPU fan stats only on AMD. A lot of the stuff is only on AMD because the fine folks at Valve have been making changes for this to better support the Steam Deck, and so all of the all the cool new stuff gets added mostly for AMD only.
I'm already taking a little bit of an issue here because we have an option to modify the text outline thickness. We have the option for that. Where's the one to do the text outline girth?
The width. Yeah. I want that bold, flavorful text. The other thing is now they have an explicit blacklist. So no more running Mango HUD on Internet Explorer for you fucking sickos.
Ooh, yeah, I know. If you ever wanted all of the options that the Steam Deck gives you when you're playing with the different presets, this is the update. This is the one you've been looking for. Just download it and you should have the exact same presets. In fact, they're numbered the exact same one. And if you don't like the presets exactly, you can make changes and use your own options because, hey, you're running Mango HUD on the desktop, so you can.
Mm. That's pretty neat. I mean, Valve. Checkbox. Desktop client, please.
That would be nice, yes.
Yeah.
It's, instead of the little FURPS counter, just Mango HUD.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm launching a game for the first time, there's a Mango HUD command. And I think that's merits enough usage to just go ahead and include it. I mean,
I would like to see what they do, add to the desktop client what they have in the Steam Deck client, which is you can just enable it through the overlay. So it's not even you have to go out of the game. You can just be like, turn on
Mango HUD. And if it's a tick box, like Ben was saying, like in the options, you could just open the settings in game and go, whoop, done.
Yeah, it's just a slider. You hit the Steam button. And
like seriously, all the NVAPI shit, the hide, and all that shit should be under advanced and collect, like a. So you don't have to go to ProtonDB. I'm like, all right, what glyphs do I need to make this? Because I ran into that when I was trying to play the Avengers. I was like, why aren't you picking up DLSS? And I had to find another thing because apparently there's some random moon package for NVIDIA that you have to have installed for it to work. I'm like, what? I even made a doc for that. I'm like, I'll never remember that. So good work. Mango HUD's a great piece of software. So is GameScope.
Yes.
Unless you're a YouTube commenter.
Yeah, except for that one guy on YouTube. He really doesn't like it.
That was his issue was with NVIDIA specifically.
Oh yeah, he was one of Pedro, Team Reds.
That's the thing.
He's one of your peeps.
Look, I have my 6700 XE, but before that I had the GTX 1080, and I very much enjoyed that GTX 1080. Until it couldn't run DX12 properly anymore. So, GameScope is effectively the best way if you want to get games that like to fuck around with your monitor configurations to get them to behave properly. And on top of everything that already does, your FSRs, your HDRs, everything else, now it has support for reshade. Yes. If you have your own collection of shaders and other graphical customizations that you've added to every single game on the Windows side, well, now you can probably get to it on the Linux side. You could previously already use some of the reshade options in VK Basalt. It had a tab specifically for that, but the devs for VK Basalt seem to be winding down development. They're saying that they're not adding any new features, so that seems to be the death knell. GameScope is very much looking to become the default, or at least the go-to Wayland compositor, and with reshade support on top of everything else, I'd say yes, please. I'm kind of curious of someone who gets a GameScope session on KDE or GNOME and then just starts applying reshades on the desktop. I kind of want to see those screenshots. I do.
doing this, though, can introduce quite a bit of latency. So you want to be a little bit sparing if you're going to be doing like full-on transforms. Apparently, according to the author of this readme, AMD GPU just has the ability to do this within the display core. So you don't necessarily need to use something like reshade to get these effects in place. There's a native driver solution, but I don't know if something like that exists similarly on the Nvidia side. That's
definitely one of the things. So if you were like me, like I knew the word reshade and I know it did a thing, like, but maybe you're not even there. I'm like, what are you guys even talking about? So what is it? It'll let somebody else stick around with your game's brightness, contrast, and colors, like preset, predefined. So you don't have to mess around with it. You have to open up like any settings or anything. Like, oh, I wonder if like the contrast and everything was balanced out differently, or you want a fresh look to it. And you can find some really good ones over at sfx.thelazy.net. Let's go check this out. So these are some Starfield, man. Let me give you some examples of what the sweet FX comparisons look like.
Sweet Jesus.
So this is no reshape.
Michael Rooker.
This is default. There we go. Kind of get an idea what's going on there, right?
Yep.
Looking a little bit better.
If you ever looked up ENB mods that change the visual aspect in the post-processing, that was probably something that you did with reshade nowadays.
I mean, it's contrast adjustments. What would be a good game to look at, Jordan?
Ooh, something like very, very pretty with like
easy to spell, complex. By the way. Pedro.
Oh,
first come, first serve.
I don't know. GTA San Andreas, for example.
Yeah, maybe. I was gonna say Bloodborne, but that's not on PC. Like,
yeah.
GTA 5, you say?
GTA 5. Sure, GTA 5 works too. Yeah.
What kind of shit did they have for Skyrim?
Skyrim's one that everyone knows. Yes.
Yeah. That's been around. It's been around for a minute. So
that 2016 that has 3,000 downloads. Yeah.
All the way back. Yeah. What about this one?
Or yeah, 11,000. There we go. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, who do we go with? We go with Elfie Man.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Solitude. Yeah.
All right. This is Sweet Effects enabled. Sweet Effects disabled.
He looks a little crispier.
Disabled.
Yeah, crispy, it's been out in the sun soggy. A bit longer. The
crispy, soggy, crispy, soggy, crispy, soggy.
So I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just sticking around with brightness and contrast. Like some of them are. Oh, hang on.
Looks a little less washed out than unmodified.
What's a neurotic automatic?
I got one.
No, they had like three different entries for it. So
here.
All caps.
Yeah, there. All caps. That's the good one. DG's preset. I think this one had a good example of like the outdoors. That this slider doesn't. Well, that's just what it looks like with it applied then.
All right.
Deal with it.
Cool. Did it include the before? There you go. There's some light shafts and some HDR that the original game doesn't do.
You said shaft.
Shafts all over your shaft, man. So, and you know, Automata really is one of those.
It's a very pretty game.
It's for like seriously one of the few games. Like every screenshot that you see on the Steam page, that's in game. Oh, here's one.
Mm-hmm. That one's okay. Yeah.
Wiggle.
Little earthier.
Yeah, because everything's washed out in this game. This is why I wanted to pull this one up, because it's just a washed out game. That was the visual style they were going for. So,
someone's using the near replica suit for 9S there.
Yeah, I used this suit when I was doing the old new old near.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had the original near suit for 9S in the game. And you had the 9S schoolboy get up for the original Nier.
North Ranger asks, wasn't there a big reshade thing for prop? Probably. I think Minecraft has got a ton of like shader. I don't know if it might be a reshade.
Yes. It was either reshade or ENB. But yeah, there was. There's also Minecraft RTX.
I want a Minecraft mod that turns the blocks into spheres.
with the appropriate physics, so yes, everything just
no cohesion. Yeah, everything's this is a giant ball pit. That'd be dope.
Crashes. It's still single threaded though, so just like fucking causes your computer to start smoking.
Oh man. Before we get out of here, we got an option. If you want to get in touch with us, it's easy to do. Like, let me be real with you. I'm not gonna have a drawn out conversation with you, and I speak for all of us on like Zitter, Mastodon, YouTube comment section. If you got some back and forwards that you want to take care of that, hop into our IRC, hop into our Discord. Be happy to chat with you there. But if you got a thought, you got some hints, you got some comments, you got a hot take, you got a medium warm hell, if you got a lukewarm take, I want you to head over to Linux Gamecast, smash the contact button, pick this show. It's called Linux Gamecast. You can figure it out. Type your tippies in, smash that submit button. And we get it. And we might read it right here on this show. We got a little bit of love this week, Jordan.
Yes, from Mr. Froz regarding Reavers of Souls. And he says, hello, I'm one of the devs from the Soul Reaver Decom Project. It's Frederico. We've seen your video, and after some work on that front today, the Linux build is up and running again. I wanted to let you know that we really appreciate you guys giving us some more exposure. It keeps us motivated to continue doing work in the project. I also wanted to mention that there is currently an HD texture pack for the game out there, only for the Dreamcast version, though, which is pretty good. We aren't working on it, working on this, but we're on 60% completion and parallel to the reverse engineering of the game code. There is a dev working on a texture editing tool for the game that's also complete. That'll be cool because, yeah, getting off the PS1 graphics and onto something a little more prettier. Mm-hmm. That would be dope as hell. I'm really excited to see in like 4 years once you guys like have Soul Reaver playable. I'm there 100%. I love Legacy of Kain. I love all those characters. I love that universe. I need more of it. And Crystal Dynamics hates my guts.
Well, they're not owned by Square Enix anymore, but
the Extinguisher Group.
Yeah, the Extinguisher Group took
care of them. Maybe not for long, man, because they're selling golf companies left and right now.
Yeah, turns out, although they spent a lot of money and they realized, oh crap, we have to make something, don't we? Mm. Fuck. Uh-huh. How do we do that? Let's make Golem.
Like the Soul Reaver and the Wipeout decomps and then rebuild.
Oh, did you see the F-Zero announcement? Nintendo was like, let's just mine that nostalgia.
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo Direct this week. Well. They're like, hey, we're remaking F-Zero. And they're like, oh.
After people have been asking for that shit for 25 years? Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
It takes an unofficial decompilation of Wipeout and then make the game work on modern systems for them to get off their ass. But yeah, no, the Wipeout example is perfect because they made a game that you either played on your original PlayStation or you didn't anymore because you couldn't find it anywhere else. So it is available for everyone now, and I really want that, and I really want the Soul Reaver project. And I hope those two actually kickstart crowdfunding platform, but actually start or give people a kick in the butt to just decompile and rebuild everything else.
Once these guys finish the Reaper 1, I really hope they go back and do 2 and Defiance. I even like Blood Omen 2. I know a lot of people didn't like that game, but I did because it had boobies in it.
I played the demo of Soul Reaver 2 on the PS2.
Yeah, this is what we're talking about. Apparently now it builds under Linux, which is pretty dope.
Let's see if they've updated these bone structures. Hey! Oh shit! Okay, fix this bullshit. Nobody wants to do this.
All online.
Yeah, that's gonna fix that. Outside of that. That's really nice. Easy enough to do.
Yeah. CMake. Yep.
Execute, generate project files, 132. Okay, cool. Yeah.
I have to close it recursively. There's some links to other repos there.
Yeah, that just means you can go get something to drink usually.
The main one is like a Dreamcast reverse engineering library. Mm-hmm. That's the big one. But yeah. Really excited to see that. Really excited to see where this project goes. Let us know. Maybe come on the show. Talk about Soul Reaver. Talk about.
I dare you.
Moody vampires.
We have the technology. Pedro dresses a moody vampire.
So how I usually dress?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, I have to be more moody. Okay. Yeah. I'll ask Nori. I'm sure she'll love the idea.
Clown nose.
You just need to like take an entire like bucket, like a mop bucket of glitter, and dump it on your head.
Yes. But you need to be misted first, so that's where Nori comes in.
Yeah, it's right. Okay. Spray down with some oil.
Yeah, we don't want you to dry out. We don't want to damage your skin. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah. Do it, coward.
Yeah. And on that oily Pedro bombshell.
I need to buy the clothes first.
What clothes? You think you're going to be wearing clothes through this entire thing? Hell no.
Just a blindfold if that counts. Hey, if you would like to support our glitter purchasing habit, you can by heading over to our web zone, linuxteamcast.com. We got a support button. Couple of ways to help us out. The biggest one, just share the show. You see it posted somewhere, give it a retweet, give it a retweet, give it a whatever the hell you do on the Facebook, that thing. Thumbs up if you watch it, like and subscribe, all that. That helps more than you absolutely know. And big thanks to everybody who already does that. We do want to thank all of our patrons making the show possible. If you want to become one of those, click on that button. We got LibrePay, we got PayPal, one-time donations. You want to buy a 50-gallon, I'm not even looking for a 50-gallon thing of glitter because No.
I don't know if the glitter one exists. The lube does, but not the glitter. I don't know.
Wait, can you get glittery lube, or can you? Do you have to like buy?
We're not going down that fucking rabbit hole. No, just stop. Get that out of your head.
But it's all lubed up already.
Nope. Hey, if you want to pick us up some presents, where we will publicly thank you online, we got some Amazon wish lists. It's been a while since I've creeped on everybody's wish list. Let's go have a. Ooh, and it's out of stock.
Nah. Boo.
But Jordan wants a 7800 XT. He wants a ribbon cable and whatever that. Oh, the SATA thing, mic arms. All right.
I need the ribbon cable for the SATA thing because my GPU takes up too many slots.
Let's see what Pedro's got on his. He's got that funky USB C, USB A to C.
Yeah, C to C.
That's C to C.
No, the A to C. Sorry.
From thank C you. To shining.
I already have the C to C. I'm confused.
He has that fan.tm, which is kind of brilliant. It's got some crucial RAM.
You guys talked it up. I kind of want.
SSDs.
Auto jumper. Yep.
Yeah.
Air fryer.
Power backs / auto jumper. Yes.
Now, if you want to end up on this wall back here, it's going to cost you. I don't know. I think I probably got some stupid cheap on here. Let me see. Where's mine? We got the Epic motherboard, 80 fucking takers on that. Bullshit. You know what? ECC memory is not that expensive. That's not
yeah, yeah. That for 32 gigs for 32 bucks, gigs.
That's
very 3200.
Yeah.
That is incredibly reasonable.
We have the Goth cheese grater. One of those Zim boards, lenses. Yeah, this is pretty cheap.
I thought that was a Roomba for a second.
Yes, the Nikon Roomba AF, man. Do either of you have one of these? Any experience with these?
No, I guess no. They're just like little hanger thingies.
Yeah, you just like apparently it screws in and it faces backwards, which is
the headphones are under the desk.
Yeah,
and people don't knock them.
I have one of those
bullshit things.
Situations where I have an actual use for that.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I would be worried about is like having my thigh just like smack that if you're turning around.
Yeah. It'll be under the desk. So like on the other desk.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Like my side desk, man. Not my main desk.
No, your side piece. Yeah, okay. Yeah. get you a little something on the side.
We got all that going on. Bunch of other ways. Go check it out. If you get a chance, we got an Amazon storefront. If you want some merch.
Oh, speaking of Amazon, Bezos Bucks.
Bezos Bucks. Oh, right. Speaking of Bezos Bucks, Twitch. Speaking of Twitch, Nubbin, 40-month resub. Look at that. We tied it together.
Yeah, thank you very much. We did it.
Fashion Hall. Thank you for the resub, Nubbin. Yeah, we got a store. You want to get some LGC merch? You want to get some stickers? You want to get some shirts? Anything you can. We get a little cut of that. And it's all homemade stuff. So it's LGC. Actually, the material of the shirts are good.
We won't charge you every time you wear the shirt, unlike Unity.
Only every time you take it off. We charge for uninstalls, so removals.
Yes, we're going to start charging for uninstalls of our merch.
And I think, Humble Affiliate, if you see stuff on our web zone or stuff I've reviewed for Interface and Linux or things like that, you can click, and if you buy something, you know, however that works.
How much is 20? How much glitter is 25 pounds of glitter? Because like glitter doesn't weigh that much. So
how much
pounds.
Does winter clay? The glitter weigh?
Probably enough to have a federal agent show up at your house asking questions.
A very sparkly federal agent. I'm with the Department of Glitter of the Department of Interior Glitter.
No, it's Department of Glitter, man. Like really, like fucking real. Let me see some ID. Whips it up.
Whips it out. It's fuck. You can't see it because it's all shiny. You're just like, my eyes. And that's when they break into your house and steal all your stuff.
That's how they get you, man. That's all a ploy, but big glitter. You better watch out. Ladies and gentlemen, on that bombshell, we're going to cue the music and get the fuck out of here. Thanks again, Shot Michaud. Shot Michaud, yes.
Take a shot, Michaud.
Scott Michaud. Scott Michaud. For hopping in at the beginning of the show, talking about some Linux-y stuff along with some Unity stuff. Good on you, mate. If you want to get in touch with me, just at Venstone, I'm still on Zitter, or we have a Mastodon federated timeline instance of tooting at mast.linuxgamecast.com. All that information is linked on the web zone. You can find it wherever popular Vin products are located.
That I guess that would be store.linuxgamecast.com. I'm Jordan. I'm your favorite sparkly vampire. You can find me No, I'm not gonna. I was gonna make a joke about waiting outside schools, but you know that's not not cool at all. Don't do it. Don't
explain it.
At Burning Fool on X Twitter, whatever. At Frojo at mass.linuxgamecast.com, on mass.linuxgamecast.com.
And soon you will be able to find me in the nude playing the moody vampire somewhere. I guess we're going to find that out together. You can find me on mass.linuxgamecast.com. That's at unaccounted for with the actual number 4 at the end. So yeah, follow me there. I don't post much. I retweet things occasionally.
I will be accepting game proposals for Pedro the Moody Sparkly Vampire.
Pedro the Sparkly Vampire. Had a very coked up nose.
Time for some credits.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see if Nubbin's in the correct place in the credits this week. Gotta thank our advisors, Omegas and Artherin, and our executive producers, Bob Ramp, Scott Machado, Atomic Ass, Mike G, Drummer, Tomaj, Hakim, David, Eshep, and Ian, and our Little Nick fans, Super Destote, Empty, Glorious Egg Roll, Blasphemia, and oh look, Nubbin's there.
Yes, and the Sea Monsters, Renoa, Rider X, Machina, Trudgy, Veritanuda, Justin, Nubbin, again, Darkwing, System T, Dancing Joe, Ogiwan, and Kyrella. It's never going to show up on all of them. No,
he's not fucking will next week. Goddamn it!
It's just all Nubbin, like all the names. It's just
Nubbin.
All of our fine upstanding cannibals in the wall behind me, Carl, Micro, Theoletics, New Aldeus, Noctilus, Johnny, Shep, Gamatron, you know, DSN, Joe, Aromatic, Dav, and Kai, Joe Rai. Thank you very much. Till next week. Hopefully, Unity will be around. It will be a slow crash and burn process. And
it's like NASCAR.
I feel bad for everybody working there right now because there's nobody like remotely outside of the sea levels.
There.
Yeah, going. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Identify everyone. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Five dudes.